Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erevin is daf Samech Aleph. We are, God willing, going to finish up today the fifth parak of the Erevin. And really, this will bring us not only to the end of a chapter, but the end of a unit in Masechta Erevin. We now spent some time now, I'd say about a month, talking about the Tchum. The third, fourth, fifth parak of Erevin deals with the issues of Tchum. And we are going to discuss two basic discussions today in terms of Tchum. And we then we'll move on from there. But in the meantime, however, we have we're starting with the Mishnah. We're a little bit behind. We're on Daf Samech Amud Aleph. We're in the very bottom. We're starting with the Mishnah. Yesterday, we finished the tangent. The Gemara went on to a little bit of a tangent of an Irshal Rabim and the Shear and the leaving out, excluding some people from the Erev. But that's talking obviously about Erev Chatzeres. I already mentioned that Mishnah doesn't seem to belong in this parak, in the fifth parak of Erevin, but it's there, and so we did it. And so, but now we go back to the world of Erev Tchum. So here now, as we know, when it comes to Tchum, so you have an option, you have an opportunity to set up your new Makam Shvisa by putting food down, and that becomes your new center. So that now you'll walk 2,000 amos to your Makam Shvisa, from there you'll walk another 2,000 amos. This already to us is obvious. But the mission over here deals with the following scenario, where you're in the east and you say to your son, look, I want to head west. Right? Over the course of the Shabbos, I want to go further west than I can. Right now, I'm only limited to go 2,000 amos. So what I'd like to do is go another 2,000 amos. So he hands food to his son and he says, go. Go and make an Erev for me, an Erev Tchum for me. So, or, let's just do it the other way. He's in the west and he wants to go eastbound. Why the mission has to go in both directions, I really don't know. But okay, either way. Im yesh heimenu ulaveso apayim uleiruva yosta mikan muta laveso v'asu leiruva. So let's say the following happened. His son followed instruction but not perfectly, and the son placed the Eruv further than 2,000 amas where he currently is situated. His house, where he's not in right now, is within 2,000 amas of where he currently is situated. So now what does he gain? So he wanted the Eruv, but the Eruv is too far out there. His house is still within 2,000 amas, so he gets his house and he does not get his Eruv. Okay.
Didn't he bite?
So wait 1 second. I don't mean to stop you so early. But wait 1 second, Rashi's going to ask you a question. So hold on. Let's do it the other way. Let's say he is 2,000 amas within his Eruv that was set up by his son, and his house is further than 2,000 amas where he currently is situated. So his house no longer becomes his Makam Shvisa, but the Eruv becomes his Makam Shvisa, which quite frankly is what he wanted. Okay, now, first of all, there is a question in terms of how exactly the case is set up. Okay, when we get to the Gemara, we'll talk about a little more detail how the case is actually positioned, how everyone is actually positioned. But in the meantime, however, let's just deal with a conceptual issue which Ben was raising just a moment ago, and I cut him off, and I apologize for cutting you off. But in other words, the conceptual issue is, I don't understand, if you're asking your son to set up your Eruv, you're basically rejecting your house. I mean, in other words, you're saying, here's my Eruv, set it up for me. That is a clear rejection of his house. Had we not learned earlier in the Masechta that if a person is rejecting his current domain and he would like to make another Eruv, so he doesn't have what he has right now. Meaning, where he's currently standing is not going to be his Makam Shvisa. Now, whether or not the Eruv elsewhere is going to work or not work, okay, depends. But in other words, the rejection of his current location is usually going to be a rejection of his current Eruv. So Rashi's going to ask, and Ben's asking the same question as well, this person is clearly rejecting his house. He's asking his son to set up an Eruv. So once you do that, so and the Eruv happens to be outside of 2,000 amos, and he can't go to the Eruv, so why should he go to his house? Why should he be able to walk to his house? And not only walk to his house, but have his house serve as a Makam Shvisa when he clearly didn't want that to happen? So Rashi addresses this issue. You can take a look at Rashi on the bottom. I'm going to go through it inside. Rashi writes, Va'afal Gav. Where I am in Rashi right now, it's the big Rashi on the bottom of the Amud. I'm not starting from the beginning of the Rashi. Second line into this Rashi, last two words of that line. Va'afal Gav du kimna bishul mishotziu. We learned back at the end of the fourth parak of Erevin. Remember the case with the tree? very complex case, but in other words, the basic point is he didn't want his Erev to be where he currently was standing. In fact, we learned back then that once you say that, you can't move. In other words, the Erev under the tree didn't work. Your current location is not what you wanted as your Makom Shvisa. So that's it. You get four Amos and you're done. That's the rest of your Shabbos. So what's the difference between that case over there and our Mishnah over here? Bothers Rashi. Rashi now will answer. In that case over there, you were walking home. Meaning there, you had no point of reference. So you were walking home, you're trying to get to your house, you knew you weren't making it back into the city before Shabbos. So, in desperation, you look at that tree up ahead, somewhere under that tree. But in other words, not where you are right now, you definitely don't want that area, somewhere under that tree. And because it was an ambiguous reference, so therefore it didn't work. But in other words, there, you're walking home, and you have zero point of reference. In other words, where you're standing right now, you certainly don't want that. Aval. So I'm sorry. The lo hava nichale delik delay elo shvisa klal. Lefichach lo yasus mim kamo. Aval. However, here, ba'omid bebeiso v'irv b'makom sheino erov, yeshlo shvisa bebeiso. Meaning here, you have a point of reference. You know your house is somewhere within the vicinity. It just happens to be that for this particular Shabbos, I want to go elsewhere. I want to walk elsewhere. But it's your house. So in other words, when you're walking home and you have zero point of reference and you're nowhere within your own house and all you have is just the ground you're walking on and you're rejecting that, that's a rejection. But if you're within the vicinity of your house and your Erev doesn't work, so you get defaulted right back to your house. So Rashi writes, the mistama bebeiso nichale lemikne besheine ruvo Erev. Meaning if for whatever reason the Erev doesn't work, so you have no problem just simply in your mind transferring, okay, Erev didn't work, okay, I got my house. As long as you're within 2,000 amos of your house. And Rashi goes on. Good. So Rashi says that's the difference between the two cases.
It's impossible to have, Frank, to have it's all set to 2,000
anyway. Or get the configuration itself we're going to get to when we start with the Gemara. It's a reasonable question. We'll get to it. Let's say you put your Erev right outside the city. Okay, right, we talked about the easement of a city. We just spoke about it the other day. But anyway, loss of a low clump. Point being, nothing gained, nothing lost. Meaning that's you didn't do anything, you didn't accomplish anything with that Erev. The city for you already was your point of center. So just by taking an Erev and putting in the Ibor of the ear, so that's done nothing. However, Nasna Chutz L'Tchum, but if you put the Erev outside of Tchum, now the Gemara in just a moment is going to point out, don't take the Mishnah so literally. Meaning the Mishnah says Chutz L'Tchum. It can't mean Chutz L'Tchum. If you put your Erev outside of Tchum, you can't get to your Erev, that Erev is nothing. Chutz l'tchum over here just simply means anywhere outside the easement. Okay. So, nasa chutz l'tchum, afilu am achas. If you put your Erev anywhere outside the city, by one ama, mashenisker hu mafsid. Erev tchumim, I've said this before, but here the Mishnah says it very clearly. Erev tchumim is always a zero-sum game. Always. Meaning that what Erev does, that it affords me an opportunity to walk in that direction, an additional whatever. In other words, wherever I set up my Erev. But whatever I gain over there, I lose over there. Okay, all Erev Tchum does is it takes your point of center and it just simply moves it. So there's never a gain with an Erev Tchumim, it's just going to be a shift. That's all Erev Tchum is. And the Mishnah here couldn't make the point any clearer, it's a shift. Although, and we're going to talk a lot about this morning, the Mishnah is not just making that point. Meaning, Erev Tchum is just really shifting your center, and it's just moving you, but you don't gain, it's just simply, here we are, I'm going to just shift it. Good. That point has been made already a number of times. But there's another point already, also in this Mishnah, which we're going to speak a lot about this morning, and that is the following. When I start off Shabbos in a particular city, so where does my Tchum begin? Outside the city. Meaning, what's that city for me? That city for me, in its entirety, a big city. That city for me is like Dalet Amos. Meaning the Tchum counter doesn't start counting until I step foot outside the city. Good? What if I take my Erev Tchum and I move it outside the city? Five Amos outside the city. Okay, that's in the Iber Ha'ir. Fine. Right? 100 Amos outside the city. Okay, now, looking back now at the city, where's my new Makom Shvisa? It's 100 Amos outside the city. Looking back at the city, Does that city count towards my tchum, or does it not count towards my tchum?
Within 2,000.
Right. Let's visualize this a little bit so we get to really observe. If I start Shabbos in the city, so I get to walk only here. Does my 2,000 start counting? Only here does my 2,000 start counting. But now let's say I take my Erev Tchum, my Makom Shvisa, and I move it to right over here.
Where's the 70? Do the 70 and 2,000?
Let's 70 right now is not a consideration. Let's say from here to here is 2,000. Let's say from here to here is 2,000. Mm-hmm. Let's say I take it my Makom Shvisa and I put it right over here. Okay. So now if I started Shabbos over here, I got 2,000 this way, I got 2,000 this way. And let's say the entire city from end to end, just for argument's sake, is 2,000 acres. And let's say the area from here to here is 500 amas. These numbers aren't that important. The concept is important. Okay? So now, I move my Makom Shvisa over here. So now that affords me to walk another 500 amas this way. Good.
15.
What about backwards? What about towards the city?
15.
Well, in other words, when I started over here, I could have gone over all the way to this point, I could have gone all the way to this point. Now that I started over here, it really is a reduction. It's a serious reduction from what I could have done had I started the city over here.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
How about this? Let's do a real brain teaser. Let's say the city was only 1,000 amps.
Get all the city back.
Okay, what we're going to learn this morning, and this really just is going to, it's a mind bender. What we're going to learn this morning is that if, let's say, you put your Erev Tchum over here, and this distance from here to here is only 500, and the distance from here to here is 1,000. So in other words, you can walk over here, that city for you is 4 ounces.
Right.
Dollar. Yeah.
That's it.
Is the city always considered dollar?
Do you have 19, 14?
Well, no. In other words, let's move it back to 2. So if I moved it back to 2, and my tchum now ends, let's say over here, right? My new Makom Shvisa is over here, and now my tchum ends in the middle of the city. So we're going to see later this morning, most Amoraim in the halach is that's where your tchum ended. Okay.
If it's less than 2,000, you have.
But if it's less than 2,000, if it's less than 2,000 amas, so now, and I get to walk outside the city has just collapsed to dalet amas.
What do you mean dalet amas? The entire rate of the city is open to you as your tchum. You can go anywhere in that city. There are certain. If you draw the radius of the tchum, you're going to be able to go entire city.
Well, stay tuned. Again, we're going to all this is going to be discussed. Sorry about that.
If you're in the middle of the city, the example I gave, the city, then you can walk in the city or you cannot?
Only up to your tchum. Only up to your, in other words, if this is your Makom Shvisa,
right,
and you have 500 amas over here, and the city's not 1,000, but the city's 2,000,
right,
so you can only walk up to your tchum, which will be 1,500 into the city.
You lose the benefit.
So the rest of the city is not.
The rest of the city is going to be outside of your tchum. Okay, we'll talk more about it this morning. Let's cover Gemara. I made the point now because really that's all right, whatever. It's going to be a big discussion coming up later.
Beyond the city, that means you count 4 plus 500, and then you have another 15 something.
Just give me a moment. We'll come back to. We're coming back. So Kalsagadach Lemizrach Lemizrach Beisa Lamarv Beisa. Now the Gemara starts off with an assumption, and clearly it's a difficult assumption, but it's an assumption which is that when the first case of our Mishnah, when you ask your son to set up your ear for you, and you say east, it's east of the house, and when you say west, it's west of the house. So the Gemara says, okay, but if everything's just going on a flat line, which is what the assumption is, so then it's impossible. Meaning impossible for your house, in other words, to have both scenarios, where either your house is going to be closer to you, or your Erev is going to be closer to you. Meaning, if everything's on a straight line, one of them, by definition, has to be closer to you. So Kansa Kazakh Lamizrach Lamizrach Basil Marv Lamar Basil. So Bishlam Menla Veso Apai Mamale Ruva Yosemikan Mishkachala. So your house being within 2,000 amas of you and your Erev being outside of 2,000 amas of you, so that's fine. Demati la base of Lamatile Ruva. Elahe Menule Ruva Apai Mulaveso Yosemikan Hech Mishkachala. But how in the world could your Erev be closer than your house if we're assuming that right now everything is on one straight line and your house is to the west of you and the Erev is to the west of the house? Impossible that the Erev is going to be closer to you than the house. So I'm Rav Yitzchak, Misfars Lamizrach, Lamizrach Beso, Lamarv, Lamarv Beso, Lo Lamizrach, Lamizrach Beno, Lamarv, Lamarv Beno. So when the Mishnah was talking east and west, it wasn't talking relative to the house, but was talking about relative to the sun, where your sun was located. So in other words, and obviously your sun's a moving target. He could have gone anywhere in the world. So that's how it's possible that your Erev could either be further or closer to 2,000 amas than you. Fine. That's one possibility. And Rava Barav Shila Amar Afila Tamla Mizrach Mizrach Besel Amar Amar Besel. Or the Gemara gives another possibility as well, which is Kigon Dikai Besa Balachsona. We were assuming that everything's on one straight line. The Gemara says not necessarily, meaning it could be that everything's on an angle, meaning that the house and the Eruv are both east of you, and it's extraordinarily possible that the house could be within 2,000 amas, the Erev could be outside, because the Erev is going on the Hypotenuse. Or, the Erev is within 2,000 amas and the house is greater than 2,000. Sorry. Because the house is on the Hypotenuse. In other words, so once we're allowing our creative minds to assume that it's not just a straight line, but things could be northeast of you or northwest of you, southeast of you, southwest of you, so now it's possible to have any one of these permutations. Good. So the Mishnah talked about putting your Erev outside of Tchum. And then the Mishnah says, well, it's a zero-sum game. What you gain on one side is what you're going to lose on the other side. And immediately the Gemara says, you know, when the Mishnah says Chutz L'Tchum, don't take the Mishnah literally. Chutz L'Tchum Sagadatcha, Ela Eima Chutz L'Ibura. It just simply means that I put the Erev outside of the easement. Okay. Mashi Unisker. Who mafsid? Mashin iska vesulava hatanya nosin is ruva besochi burshal ear, loasav lo klum, nasna chutzli iburshal ear, afilo ama achas, mistaker oso ama, o mafsid is kol ha ear, kula, memnesha midas ear, o la 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 midas atchum. So here we have a brisa, and the brisa, now we go back to the board, and the brisa spells out exactly the point I made back in the Mishnah. Let's say it again. The brisa over here says that look, when I started off in the city, so let's make the city 3,000 amos. Okay, when I started off in the city, that city for me is dalan amos. Done. I can walk at 2,000 amos in that direction, 2,000 amos in that direction. I have a lot of movement for this particular Shabbos. In fact, in total, 2 plus 2 plus 3. So we're talking now 7,000 amos range. Good. But what happens, however, says the Braisa, if I take my Erev outside the easement, and I put the Erev over here, this is my new Makom Shvisa. I'll mark it off at 100 amas outside the city. Okay. Bryce talks about one amma, it's the same point. 100 amas outside the city, now what I've done is I've seriously diminished my range. Because now from here, I can go 2,000 amas in this direction, it'll give me another 100 amas over here, great, but what it also will do is that going this way, I can only go 2,000 amas from there. I've lost nearly 3,000 amas. Right. Okay. Good. In other words, because once my tchum ends, and even though it ends in the middle of the city, that's where my tchum ends. That's where I stop walking. So the Bryce over here, it's interesting. I start in the city. The city collapses into 4 amas. I start outside the city. The city now becomes part of the tchum count. What we're going to say in just a moment, however, is, and I know everything's not drawn to scale, but if the city is, let's say, 1,000 amos, and I move my Erev Tchum over here, and obviously I will be allowed to walk throughout the entire city, and I will be allowed to continue to walk, so what happens now is that the city itself collapses. Even though the city was not my Makom Shvisa, the city itself collapses to 4 amos. Now,
which means you can walk anywhere in the
city. Which means then, of course, I can walk anywhere within the city. Mm-hmm. It also will mean that, let's say it took me only 100 amas to walk to the city. At this end of the city, I can walk 1,900. And if you want to be even more specific, 1,896 amas, because the city is like 4 amas. But anyway, but the point being is that the city collapses. Okay. Now, if this is hard to process and digest, so do not worry, you will not be alone. There will be Amoraim, which we're going to quote in just a moment, who say, how did that work? In other words, just because you're this Erev allows you to walk to the other end of the city now will collapse into four Amos. If you start in the city, I understand. That city for you is Dal Amos. But if your Tchum is taking you through a city, and you're able to get to the other side, then the whole city collapses?
Wait, when you say collapses, what does that mean? Meaning that
this area to this area was 1,000 Amos.
Right.
In Tchum terminology, 4 Amos.
So you have another...
I have another...
1,996.
Correct. 1,896 Amos where I can walk.
Yeah.
Okay? So all of this was off the books.
Any city or your city?
Now, it's so funny that you said that. I was wondering the very same question. I don't know why there would be a difference, but I hear your question.
What's the question?
His question is, does it matter whose city it is? Does it have to be your city, or could it be any city?
But okay. If you have a series of cities next to each other, then Elam, I'm going to also...
Okay, now, understood. Yeah, you?
What about north and south? Or like?
Well, I understand. I'm just illustrating east-west just so that we get the point. But it would the same thing would be true north-south as well. Okay, that's...
I'm sorry, but it's good if it's 1,000 this way and say 5,000 this way.
Right, in other words, so... Correct, so if the city collapses, I'm venturing to say, but this is me talking, and I don't know if I'm right, but I'm going to venture to say that once the city collapses, so that's it, you get the entire city. It's almost like, you know, you truncated the whole city. Again, I'm not sure, but it's a suggestion on my part. So the Gemara now is bothered by the following. Here we go. We have now a Braisa, and the Braisa says that if you move your Erev outside the city, and your Tchum ends in the middle of the city, so that's it. You stop in the middle of the city. So the Gemara says, what about our Mishnah? So, right, what do I want to do? Let me just quickly reread it again. Okay. Once you put your Erev outside the city and outside of the Eber of the city, even by one Amma, Mistaker Oso Amma, so you gain an Amma, Umafsid is called Ayir Kula, but you lose the entire city, Mimnei, Shemidas Ayir Ola Lo Mimidas Tchum, because the city counts towards your Tchum, and so therefore you lose the entire city. Meaning you can only walk up to your Tchum. Assuming that the Tchum ends somewhere in the middle of the city. Lo kasha, kanshikalta midasa bechatzi ha'ir, kanshikalta midasa besof ha'ir. So the Gemara says exactly, everything I just said, the Gemara says it in these two lines. Meaning, that if your Tchum ends in the middle of the city, so that's it. You must stop in the middle of the city. But if your Tchum allows you to walk over the entire course of the city, and beyond the city, so the city collapses. Now, the Gemara quotes this in the name of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, which is So Rav Yeshua ben Levi could not say it any clearer. It depends. Erev ends in the middle of the city. Sorry. Tchum ends in the middle of the city. You stop in the middle of the city. Tchum goes beyond the city. The whole city collapses into four Amos. Now, that is a statement made by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. That is also supported by Rava, which we'll see in just a moment. So who takes great exception to all this? An Amora by the name of Rav Edi. Am Rav Edi ein elu ela divrei nevias. Rav Edi says, you know, it sounds like I'm speaking to a prophet right now. Now, you lose a lot of tone when you read Gemara. Meaning, I very often wonder this. When I read the Gemara, am I reading it with the proper tone? So when the Gemara says this, is the Gemara saying this like a flattering statement? I mean, who wouldn't want to hear from a Navi? Or on the other hand, he was saying it with a certain tone of, right, none of this makes any sense. If you look at Rashi, Rashi takes a latter approach. Rashi says, none of this isn't making sense. Rashi writes, Kimis Nave, the second to last Rashi, Kimis Nave mipi agvura she'enu nosein tam ledvarav. You know, the Navi, what he does is he repeats. He gets a Nevuah, he gets some sort of prophetic message, he repeats the message, and does he explain it? No. There's no explanation. Okay. Now, it's interesting, by the way, because is it credible? Of course it's credible. It's Nevuah. Does it make sense? Not so much. Doesn't have to. So over here, that's what he means. Ironic. That we're, you know, different Nevuah, meaning it doesn't make any sense. But that's the message he's trying to convey. Meaning, had you not heard this, you know you wouldn't have said it. Doesn't make any sense. So ki hai milsa below time, because really there's no logic behind it. Why should it be that if your tchum goes through the city, oh, now the city collapses to four amas? But if the tchum doesn't go through the whole city and it stops somewhere in the middle of the city, oh, you got to stop in the middle of the city. Okay, it is an excellent question. There has to be some sort of, there doesn't have to be, but it would seem to be a need for some sort of explanation, some sort of rationale for why that should be. And Ravidi says, I don't understand the rationale. You wouldn't have said that on your own. Okay. Amar Rava, Tarvayu Taninu. Rava says, look, you're right. I may not have said it on my own. And by the way, I'm going to bypass, although it is a great discussion, and I just want to alert you to it. You see the Baam Tosfos? Right, he quotes the Ri. The Ri doesn't understand the Gemara like Rashi did. That this was a pejorative statement and it was derogatory. And, no, in other words, when the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Ein anu ala derech nevius, he meant it as a flattering statement, meaning that's great, like what a Navi would say. Okay, so a question of undertone and context and how to understand the statement. Either way.
Okay.
Yes.
You might have thought if you didn't stop where the Gemara tells you to stop, if you go to the end, oh, I'm entitled to 2,000 more amas.
Okay, but I understand that. But right now we're not in the discussion of Gzeira. In other words, the reality is, the Tchum reality is that if Tchum ends in the city, that's it ends. If Tchum goes beyond the city no longer counts.
Right.
Well, why shouldn't the city count? Okay. I'm a Rava. Tarvayu Tanin Rava says, look, it may be different Nevi'as, but I'm telling you, what we're saying is correct. By the way, it's the accepted halacha. What we're saying is correct, and it's all in the Mishnayos. Well, let's take a look at Mishnayos together. What we're going to be doing is looking at a Mishnah which is coming up on the bottom of the next of the upcoming Amud, and it goes like this. Look, we're going to be learning later this morning about big city, little city. Big city, little city. Ir gedola, ir katana, they're near each other. Not next to each other, but near each other. Here, for him to walk 2,000 amas, it lands over here. For him to walk 2,000 amas, it lands right smack in the middle of the city. What's the halacha? Halacha goes like this. From his perspective, that whole city now becomes nothing. Dal amas. Gets crunched and collapsed. From his perspective, his tchum ends in the middle of the city. That's it. That's where he stops. Okay, good. So that's exactly what Rav Yeshua ben Levi has been telling us.
Right.
But not only is it Rav Yeshua ben Levi the Amora, it's a Mishnah. So my time alav Mishnah dahani kalsam idasam mechatzayir vahani kalsam idasam esofayir. Now, that is Rava's defense of this halacha. Rav Edi, who thought all this was nevuah, not flatteringly, let's assume like Rashi, meaning that it just simply doesn't make any sense. What is he going to do with that Mishnah? That Mishnah really speaks to this idea. Rav Edi anchi ir tani umokim la ben nosim. Okay, so Rav Edi says, first of all, when everyone here is learning the Mishnah, Rav Edi says, you got the Mishnah wrong. Meaning, you got the girsa of the Mishnah wrong. When you look at the Mishnah, you can actually see in the bottom of the Amud, Anshir Gadol Ma'achan is called your Katana, Anshir Katana Ma'achan is called your Gadola. So, how did the second clause go? The Anshir Katana. In fact, in the Mishnah, when you read inside, it says, the Anshay. Right? Rava, if you look back at the top of the Amud, how does Rava have it? The Ein Anshir Katana. But Ravidi says that's not the correct year. So the correct year is Anche Ir Gedola Mahachin is called. Sorry, let me redo that again. I'm sorry, where'd I go? Okay, Rabbi Edi, sorry, four lines down. Ravi Idi Anshe Tani Umokim La Benosein. So Ravi Idi says, first of all, the correct year, so the Mishnah is Anshe, not Ve'ein Anshe. And it means the following. The case is where, you see, I have the pictures up above. We were assuming that the people in the small city started shoppers in the small city. And the people in the large city started shoppers in the large city. Ravi Idi says, no, that's not what's happening. What's happening is the people in the small city made an heir of Tchum in the large city. The people in the large city made an heir of Tchum in the small city. That's the case of the Mishnah. So in other words, everybody basically shifted cities for that particular Shabbos. Fine. So in other words, if you started your Makom Shvisa in another city, so that city for you becomes Dal Amos. That's all the Mishnah means. Avamode lo. But in terms of measuring, in both cases, your 2,000 Amos is just 2,000 Amos. If you're going from the small city to the large city, you have to stop in the middle of the city. And even when you're traveling from the large city, it's true your 2,000 Amos will allow you to go through the entire town. But don't discount those 2,000 Amos. Whatever you walk through the town is part of the count of the 2,000 Amos, says Ravidi.
He's going against the Mishnah.
He's reinterpreting the Mishnah. That's his interpretation of the Mishnah. So avamode lo tanan. Velova tanan lamode shamer nosen lo apayim masha afilo sof midasu kala bemara. So sofa is, I'm sorry, kala bemara. So the Gemara says, okay, but as we will learn the Mishnah later on, isn't the Mishnah already make that point? Sofa iritz derichlei. The Gemara says, yeah, maybe, but Ravidi will tell you it needs to make the point again regarding the city. Why? To lo tanan, because that was not part of the last part of the Mishnah. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, look, in terms of the girsa of the Mishnah, I think both girsas are actually correct. Mandini anshe lo mishtabish, mandini ein anshe lo mishtabish. Mandini anshe lo mishtabish, demokim la benosein, o mandini ein anshe lo mishtabish, demokim la bemode, v'chusur mechzor v'hachi ketani. Rav Nachman will basically say it's all actually part of the Mishnah. And there's actually a missing piece of the Mishnah, and what Rav Nachman will do is flesh out the Mishnah. It's so funny. We're spending so much time on a Mishnah that we haven't actually seen yet. But again, Rav Nachman's point is going to be, it's all there. And it goes like this. Anshe Yer Gedola Ma'achan is called Yer Ketana. Vein Anshe Yer Ketana Ma'achan is called Yer Gedola Ba'medvar Mamurim Be'modeit. In terms of measuring, meaning, if I start in the small city and that was my Makom Shvisa, and I walk into the large city, I'm on the count. My 2,000 Amos end in the city, I got to stop where my 2,000 Amos end. However, let's say I start in the big city and I'm walking towards the little city. Because my 2,000 Amos allow me to walk past that small city, so therefore that whole city collapses to 4 Amos. Avamisha, Yabir Gadola Vinir Khazuru Vibir Katana, Hayabir Katana Vinir Khazuru Vibir Gadola. However, let's say now I don't start Shabbos in the city that I'm actually starting in, but I make a Tchum, an Erev Tchum in the other city. So Mahalach is Kula Vichutzala Apai Mama. Now, because I'm a resident of the other city now becomes my Makom Shvisa, which now affords me the opportunity to walk to that city. The whole city for me is 4 Amos, and walk outside the city 2,000 Amos. Good. I'm Rav Yosef, I'm a Rami Bar Amma, I'm sorry. Okay, period, done. That really ends our discussion. And basically, the halach is, despite Rav Edi's dissent, the halach is going to be that really, if your tchum stops in the middle of a city, and again, that city was not your originating city, in other words, you walked into the city on Shabbos from your Makom Shvisa, and your tchum ends in the middle of the city, that's it. That's where your tchum ends. You have to stop right there in the middle of the city. If, however, the city is so small, and your tchum allowed you to walk through the entire city, so the city now becomes truncated. All that distance of that city now collapses into 4 Amos. Okay. Why should that be? It's hard to understand why that should be.
So if somebody is, say, 900 Amos to the city, to go back 100 to gain another 2,000, right? Because if he gets to the edge of the city becomes 4 Amos, right?
Yes.
So you would go back 100 and start over there, so it would be...
Yeah, in other words, correct. And once you know this information, obviously you would like it. Correct. Agreed.
Wouldn't pose a problem, because if you're walking from the big city and the smaller cities within your 2,000 Amos, if you walk through the city, that's for Dalai Amos, and you can go another however long.
Right.
If you walk outside of the city, then your 2,000 Amos would end...
Yeah, again, that's another excellent point. Meaning, do you have to go through the city itself to make that gain? Or now is it just automatically afforded to you? Right? Good question. I certainly don't know the answer. But it's okay. Excellent. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rami Bar Abba, Amar Rav Huna. Okay, so now from here until the Mishnah, we're going to be dealing with a scenario where basically we're basically going to end in again these kind of strange conclusions that basically if you're living in one city you can get to another, but if you're living in the other city you can't get to this one, and it's going to be like riddles, if you will. And how exactly does that work? So let's see inside. We start with the halacha. Let's say of the city right by the edge of a cliff. Okay, not the smartest place to make a city, but okay. City's right by the edge of a cliff. And now the city's right by the cliff, and the question becomes the following. Where's the city limit? Where, in other words, when we start counting tchum. So, now, being that the fact that the city's right next to a cliff, I'm sure every parent has said to their child, don't go there. Right, you're going to fall off the cliff, don't go there. So in other words, does the city limit end with the cliff? So it depends. If the members of the city actually built a wall to make sure that no one falls off the edge of the cliff, so the city limit actually goes to that wall. However, if they didn't build a wall right by the edge of the cliff, so then tchum starts the moment you actually walk out of your house. And you know, Rashi says, you know what it's like? Remember we learned back in the people, the shepherds, who are traveling, and they make their little huts, and they know they're only going to be there for a month, for 2 months, so that's temporary, so you can't call that a city. Here too, even though we actually made a city, I mean, the houses were made out of stone, doesn't matter. The fact that we're by the edge of the cliff, and the fact that no one actually built a wall to protect us from the cliff, that's not called a city. Your tchum count will start the moment you step foot out of the house. Okay, that's the halacha. Elami Pesach Beso. So Amalei Abaye Daka Arba Amos Amartlan Allah Ma'ishtami Kol Daka Dama Da Arba A. Now, first of all, here the wall has to be four amos. Usually, when we talk about a daka, daka actually means thin. Daka usually is four tfachim, right? Arba A. I told you the trick. Arba is lashon zachar. So, in other words, it's talking about tfachim. Amalei Hasam Lo Beisatash Mishay Hacha Beisatash Mishay. The Gemara says, yeah, but okay, but everything's context. Meaning over here, you're at the edge of a cliff. Right? Four tfachim is a wall that's a foot tall. And that's not going to stop anyone from falling over the edge of the cliff. Meaning you have to make it so that it safeguards so that no one falls over. Four amas. Four amas is the kind of wall you want to be talking about. Four amas is, you know, 7 feet, 8 feet. Okay, whatever. So Amar of Yosef ben Amina la detanya hitar Rabbi Shu b'nei geder yordan lechamtan ve'ein b'nei chamtan olan legeder. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa, and we're going to give three, maybe four different explanations of how this Braisa works. But the Braisa tells the following story. Rebbe told, there were two communities, two cities next to one another. There was the town of Geder and there was the town of Chamtan. Okay? Strange names for towns. One town was called the Fence and the other town was called Chamas in Aramaic is a jug. All right, whatever. Town of Jug and the town of Fence. Either way, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so and Rebbe says, look, if you're living in the town of Geder, you on Shabbos can walk to the town of Chamtan. But if you're living in Chamtan, you can't walk to Geder. Okay, that's the Braisa. What? how did that happen? So, Ein B'nei Chamtan Olam Geder. My time, Allah, Mishum Dahani Avar Daka, V'hani Lo Avar Daka. So the Gemara says, well, based on the halacha we just learned, I think I know pshat. The town is on an incline. It's on a very steep hill. And because it's on a very steep hill, so for fear of falling, the members of Geder actually built a fence to protect their inhabitants. So in other words, where does their tchum begin? At the fence. The members of Chamtan built no such fence. Where does their tchum begin? The moment they step foot out of their house. Okay, riddle solved. Meaning, so the people of Geder can walk to Chamtan because their tchum count doesn't start until the fence. But the people of Chamtan, who didn't build the fence, so therefore their tchum begins the moment they step foot out of their house. Okay.
Maybe the name reflects that.
Very good. Right? That could very well be. So now the Gemara is good, and we have a nice pshat in the Braisa, and we could go on, but the Gemara is going to give two, three other possibilities in terms of what exactly happened, what were the circumstances over there. The Gemara is going to give another pshat offered by Rav Dimi. Tatruge mitatruge lahu b'nei geder l'b'nei chamtan. So there was not peace between these two cities. I know it's funny, the two cities both comprised of Jews. How could they not be peaceful? Right? That in of itself is crazy. But the Gemara says, look, they had a cantankerous relationship, the two cities. So what Rebbe said basically is, if you're members of Chamtan, don't go to Geder. Meaning, it's not really a tchum halacha, although it is. He couched it like a tchum halacha, but it really was just simply for the safety and the protection of the members of Chamtan. You know, if you go to Geder, you know you're going to get a good beating. So don't go to Geder. Okay, the Gemara says, oh, my hitter. Now, the word hitter makes it sound like, right, mutar, permitted. It wasn't really hitter. The Gemara says itkin.
Only a Shabbat restriction?
Wait 1 second. Your question is right on. Just give me a moment. Umayshna Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay. So, but why would Rebbe then say to the people of Chamtan, don't walk together? What does it have to do with Shabbos? If it's about not getting a good beating, so why doesn't Rebbe say it every day? So the Gemara says, because the Shabbos Shchiyah Shchich Bashichros, Ki Az Lahasam Nami. I'm sorry. Shchicha b'shechra. So the Gemara says it happens to be that for Shabbos that was the time that they drank. Okay, they got a little too excited with their kiddushes. Yeah, so too much drinking going on. So b'nei chamtan, if you walk together on Shabbos, you're going to get a beating. So you know what? I'm saying it begeder halacha, which I know is strange. Meaning, either okay, whatever. I'm saying it begeder halacha. You can't walk there on Shabbos. But it really was a protective measure for the people of Chamtan. So the Gemara says, Ki azal ha'asam nami mitachigalu kaba. I'm sorry, mitachigalu. So the Gemara says, okay, so if it's to prevent anyone to get beaten, and if the people of Geder are really, if they're physical people and they're obnoxious people, so why doesn't Rebbe tell the people of Geder not to walk to Chamtan? So the Gemara says, "Kaba b'lom masya shevshnim lo navach." You take a dog out of its natural habitat, and you domesticate a dog. So you know what happens; it becomes a domicile dog. So, in other words, the expression is great, right? A dog taken out of its location for 7 years and never barks. So, in other words, once you take people out of its natural habitat, they calm. They're fighting. So, hashanami mechashugu b'nei chamtan levnei geder. So the Gemara says, okay, so good. So that explains why the B'nai Geder can walk down to Chamtan. So because they're out of their element, nothing will happen. So the Gemara says, well, why not let the B'nai Chamtan walk over to Geder? Why can't we make the same argument? Kula hailo kaifalahu. So the Gemara says, because the B'nai Chamtan are not that subjected to the B'nai Geder. B'nai Chamtan are going to go to B'nai Geder. They're just simply going to get a beating. It's not going to end well. So in other words, it's another pshat for this story of Chamtan and Geder having nothing to do with the incline, having nothing to do with the fence, but simply having to do, Rebbe was trying to protect B'nai Chamtan from not getting hurt. Rav Safra Amar Yirasui Kikeshas Havai. Rav Safra gives another pshat, and that is, again, a totally another suggestion in terms of what's happening over here. The city of Chamtan looked like a rainbow, right? The third time now we're having the rainbow city, okay? And it looked like a rainbow, and for our purposes, we're going to say that we're not measuring the tchum by the bow, although we talked about that earlier. We're going to measure tchum by the bend, and it happens to be that the people of Chamtan cannot reach the people of Geder, because the people of Geder, the city was just simply too big. But the people of Geder could reach the people of Chamtan. Rav Dimi bar Chinan Amar Anshe Yer Gedolav Anshe Yer Kitana Havai. Basically, it's the same point. Big city, small city, like we discussed earlier, just without the illustration of the bow. Rav Kahana Masni Hacher, Rav Tevuma Masni Hacher, Rav Safra Rav Dimi bar Chinan Chad Amar Yer Asui Kikeshes Havai V'Chad Amar Anshe Yer Kitana Anshe Yer Gedolav Havai. And the Gemara just simply presents the same discussion, but not clear who said which position. Okay, but anyway, that all was trying to explain and say a pshat in Rebbe, why Rebbe allowed the people of Geder to walk to Chamtan, but the people of Chamtan not to walk back to Geder. Okay, Adkan. And let us begin now the last Mishnah of the Perek. We're familiar. We know the Mishnah here inside out. We spent a lot of time already this morning discussing this Mishnah. Anshir Gedol Ma'achin is called Ir Ketana. Anshir Ketana Ma'achin is called Ir Gedola. The people in the small city can walk throughout the city, the large city, and the people of the large city can walk throughout the small city. Now, if you remember earlier, that you go back to the top of the very top of the Amud, the first line of the Amud, right? We have it as Ein Anshir Ir Ketana. The people of the small city cannot walk throughout the entire large city. So, and then Rav Nachman said, Chasur Mechzura, there's pieces missing in our Mishnah. Okay, good. Ketzad. Misha Yabir Gadol of Anasan Esiruv Yabir Katana. If I'm in a large city, and I put my Eruv in the small city, Yabir Katana, Anasan Esiruv Yabir Gadol, or the converse, Mahalach is Kula V'chutzala Alpayim Amah. So now what I could do is, that city now becomes my place of abode, my makam shvisa, and now from that city I can walk 2,000 amas. The city collapses to 4 amas, and I can walk outside the city at 2,000 amas. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein lo ela mi makam eruvo apayim ama. Rabbi Kiva has a very interesting opinion, which, as the Gemara will point out at the very end of this whole discussion, we do not follow. But it's Rabbi Kiva, and it's part of Torah. And Rabbi Akiva says that when I transfer my Makam Shvisa to another city, my Tchum count starts from the Eruv. Meaning, I don't become a member or a resident of that city. For members and residents of that city who actually own property and real estate in that city, the whole city for them becomes Dal Amas, and the Tchum doesn't start until outside the city. But if I'm not a member of the city, but I just become a member through Eruv Tchum, My Eruv counter starts at the Eruv. The city is nothing for me. No, the city does not become my Dal Amas. That is Shitas Rabbi Akiva. So Amar Lahan Rabbi Akiva Yatamodin Libanos and Eruvah Bemara Shein Lo Elami Makam Eruvo Apai Mama. And Rabbi Akiva says, look, I know you're going to agree with me about this. I lay my Eruv down in a cave. In a cave. Don't you agree with me that your Eruv counter starts at the Eruv and the cave doesn't become for me Dal Amas? Amru lo, so they say to Rabbi Akiva, no, we don't agree with you. Meaning, you got it almost right, but no. Amasai bezman she'ein ba diurin. If we're talking about an uninhabited cave, so then I'll give it to you. Aval yeshlo diurin. But if this cave is actually somebody's house, or more than that, the cave is, let's say, even an entire city, a city underground. Mahalach is kula v'chutz al alpay mama. The cave becomes for you four amas. Once you lay your Erev Tchum there, you become a member of that city, and the city becomes now four amas, and now you can walk 2,000 amas outside. Nimsa kal tochem al gaba. So, and it turns out now, what a strange conclusion. I put my Erev Tchum in the cave. Cave for me becomes Dal Amas, irrespective of how big the cave is. If I put my tchum on top of the cave, meaning uninhabited landmass, so then my tchum starts from the actual Eruv itself. So me'al gabav, kal tocha me'al gabav, ulamod yishamu nosin alpayam amma, shafil asof midoso kala b'ma'ara. Even if when you're measuring your tchum, and then it ends in a cave, so then it ends in a cave. But if you put your Erev Tchum in the cave, you become part of a member and a resident of the cave itself. Again, this is not a question of carrying. This is a question of where your Tchum begins. Okay. I'm Rav Yehuda. We're starting on the top of the Amud. And I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Shmuel Shabbos Be'ir Chareva. L'Rabban Ma'alach Hizkula V'chutzala Apayim Amma. Let's say you make your Erev in a Erev Tchum in a desolate city. Nobody's living there. Okay, so what? It's a city. So in other words, the city for you becomes 4 amas, and then you go outside, 2,000 amas. Heiniach es eruvo, sorry, I misspoke. Let me do that again. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmo, shavas bi'ir chareva. You didn't put your Erev Tchum down over there.
The batch is delayed, we're going to delay the start of davening a bit. We'll keep you posted.
Okay. Okay, essentially what he's saying is, that was a personal message to me. I'd like you to finish the perek. I'm telling you, by the way, I know you didn't hear that, but that's basically what he said. Okay, by the way, I apologize. If you do need to leave to daven, I apologize. But I'm going to go on. I'm going to finish the perek. So, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shabbos Be'ir Chareva L'Rabban Ma'alach Hizkul V'Chutz Al Apayim Amma. If you spent Shabbos in that desolate city, why you would do that? Okay, you wanted an exciting Shabbos. You wanted an isolated Shabbos. But fine. So for you now, that city becomes a city, meaning four amos, collapsed, and then 2,000 amos. But even according to the Chachamim, if you just lay an Eruv down over there, right, the Hiniyachas Eruv Abir Chareva, Ein Lo Mimakom Eruv Ala Pai Mama. Okay, you only get 2,000 amos from the Eruv. Why? So apparently the argument is, because it's a desolate city, it's not a city. Right?
So, it's not a city.
So it doesn't collapse to you. Now, it's strange though, because if you live there, it becomes a city. But if you just lay your Eruv down over there...
But there's nobody in the entire city besides you?
Yeah.
You're right.
Okay, fine. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Elazar says, no, it doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Elazar Omer Echad, Shabbos Ve'echad, Hiniach Malach, it's Kulav Echutz Al Apai Mama, it's the same. Meaning, what difference does it make whether you actually are there, or you lay your Erev Tchum down there? Because by laying your Erev Tchum down over there, essentially means you are there. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference. Meisvei. Now, although the Halach is going to go like Rabbi Elazar, but the Gemara is going to ask a very sharp question against Rabbi Elazar based on a Mishnah. Based on the mission we just learned, Amalem Rabbi Akiva Temod only benosin is eruva b'mara she'ein lo mimakom eruva la paim ama. So what about the cave? So Rabbi Akiva says to the Chachamim, don't you agree with me? So Amalem Eimus not bisman she'ein ba diurin. Now what was the Chachamim's response? Yeah, if no one lives in the cave, I agree with you. So what do you see? That if it's an uninhabited area, so then the Chachamim actually do agree to Rabbi Akiva that you don't get the entire cave. So here too, if it's an uninhabited city, so then it sounds like Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is right, that you don't get the entire city. So ha be ein ba diurin modulei, my ein ba diurin ein a reuya ledira. You misunderstood the Chachamim's point to Rabbi Kiva. It doesn't mean that there are no residents over there. What it means is that it's uninhabitable. It's not fit for living. That's what the Chachamim mean. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's do it another way. Shabbos beir, afilu hi gedola ka'antochia, b'mar, afilu hi kamar tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda, melech hizkula v'chutzala, apay mama. If you live in a city, I don't care how big the city is. It could be as big as the city's Antioch. Okay, I wish I knew how big it was, so I get a sense of how big we're talking, but I get the basic idea. It's a real big city, doesn't matter. The city's four amos, and then your tchum only starts after the city. Or in a cave, like the cave of Tzidkiyahu. Doesn't matter. You get the entire cave. Your tchum only starts after you get outside the cave. Ketani ir dum yedamara mamar chareva af ir chareva. Now, it sounds like we're comparing a city and a cave. So, presumably, the cave is not inhabited, neither is the city. Vishavis in aval hi
neechlo. Once again, we're going to wait a little bit. The bus is delayed.
Okay, just so you should know, he's waiting for me to finish the parak. I'm telling you. But in other words, and it's only if you are actually living in the city, but if you lay your Erev down in that desolate city, you don't get the entire city, nor do you get the entire cave. So money Rabbi Kiva Mayuri Khareva Filo Yeshiva Nami. Now, who's espousing such a viewpoint? Not Rabbi Akiva, because from Rabbi Akiva's standpoint, we know Rabbi Akiva holds that if I don't live in that city, if all I do is lay an Erev down that city, whether it's inhabited or not inhabited, your tchum only begins from the Erev. So that's not Rabbi Akiva, Elalav, Rabbanan. So it must be that the author of that statement is a Chacham in the time of the Shabbos in Aval Hinei Achlo. And now this distinction of inhabited city versus uninhabited city seems to be a good distinction, and it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is correct, and Rabbi Elazar is not correct. The Gemara says, okay, look, the analogy is great, but how did you know which way to go in the analogy? Maybe the cave is like the city. Ma'ir yeshiva af ma'ara yeshiva. Okay, maybe the cave was inhabited. Maybe the city was inhabited. Maybe the cave was inhabited. Rabbi Akiva. And maybe the author of this brisa is Rabbi Akiva. Damar ein lo mimakom eruv ela apayim ama. Uvishavas moda. Then, in other words, Rabbi Kiva will tell you, look, his distinction, where he draws the line is, if I'm a resident of that community, it collapses. If I'm not a resident and I only become one through an Eruv, the city doesn't collapse. And maybe that was Rabbi Akiva, who was the author of this Braisa. So, So the Gemara says, yeah, but didn't the, wasn't the Braisa specific about what kind of cave it was? The cave of Tzidkiyahu. The cave of Tzidkiyahu was the one where he created for the purposes of isolation, meaning he was living during the assault of Nebuchadnezzar. He made a cave, not as a city, but as a way of escaping. So the Gemara says, Kamar Tzidkiyahu velo Kamar Tzidkiyahu. The Gemara says, yeah, but the Braisa is using the structure of the cave, but not the actual scenario of the cave. Kemar Tzidkiyahu Gedola, it's a really big cave. Alo Kemar Tzidkiyahu, Dielo Hasem Chareva V'Achi Yeshiva. But here we're talking about a cave that happens to be inhabited. We're just looking at the cave structurally, but not in terms of actual residence. Okay, where are we right now? Finishing the perek, Baruch Hashem. And basically we're at the same, or at the following point. If I'm not a resident of that city, but I lay my Erev down that city, so do I become now a member of the city in the sense that the city now collapses into four amas? It's a machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, you are now become resident of that city, and Rabbi Kiva says, no, you're not. And your tchum only is from your Eruv, and that's it. Do we follow like Rabbi Kiva? That's the last lines of this parak. Mar Yehuda Ashkechino Levnei Mevarchta, okay. Members of another city made an Erev Tchum for that Shabbos, and they put their Erev Tchum in the shul of Be'a Guvar. So, Hedy, kind of like what you suggested earlier, make sure that you're careful about where you adjust the actual Erev Tchum itself, so that we're given more latitude in terms of our Tchum. So Rava says... What? Why? Why would you do that? Meaning the shul of Beit Guvar is in a city. Once you lay your Erev Tchum down in a city, you become a resident of that city. In other words, we don't follow like Rabbi Kiva. In fact, palga'a, meaning any, right, you're cantankerous. You're causing machlokus. The Erevin lays the chashlehu to Rabbi Akiva. On this halach of Erevin, no one has any consideration or concern for the position of Rabbi Akiva. Once you lay your Erev down in the city, you become a resident of that city. The city collapses to four amas. It doesn't matter where in the city you're going to put your Erev down. Adkan, Hajalach Ketam Ma'avrin, that is the end of the fifth parak of Erevin, and that will formally end our discussion of Erev Tchum. God willing, tomorrow, Mir Hashem, we start the sixth parak of Erevin. Tomorrow we start Erev Chatzeres. Right. Yes. Okay, Dan.